Hello and welcome to this special edition SearchStorage.com podcast. I'm Associate Editor Ian Crowley, and I'm here today with John Webster, Senior Partner at Evaluator Group. He's going to answer a few questions about Hadoop storage and what the forecast is looking like for 2013. Welcome, John.
Yes, hi, Ian. Thank you for having me on here.
Anytime. Okay, let's start slowly. Can you walk us through the evolution of Apache Hadoop over the last few years and how companies are working with the Apache community to implement Hadoop into their products?
Yeah, so Apache Hadoop is an open source project, sort of spanned an arc from the large social media entities like Google and Amazon and Hadoop, Zynga and Facebook and, you know, those names. And it spans an arc from that sort of starting point to the enterprise, which is now starting to pick up Hadoop and use it as an alternative to traditional data warehousing. So really it got its birth, I suppose, in a way in 2004 when Google described an architecture that they created called MapReduce in a paper that they'd used to support their query engine. And Yahoo picked up the paper, started an open source development project under Apache to bring the MapReduce framework forward. They also created a file system that supported this MapReduce process. It was called a distributed file system, which was called HDFS for the Hadoop distributed file system. But that's essentially the kernel of Hadoop, and it started as an open source project within Apache. It is right now still version 1.0, if you will, or 1.1. Maybe Hortonworks has pushed it to 1.2, but it's still in its sort of general availability form, distribution form, available as 1.0, or a version 1. A version 2 is due out later this year, and one of the objectives within version 2.0 is to address some of the availability, reliability issues in 1.0 that make Hadoop difficult for the enterprise to put into production. So 2.0 is sort of referred to, in my mind anyway, as enterprise-ready Hadoop. So we're going from a version of Hadoop that was built by the social media companies and could be supported by the social media companies to a version of Hadoop that is more enterprise-ready. And that's really how vendors are, some of the vendors, particularly in the storage arena that we're familiar with, are working with Hadoop, is to make it, in whatever way they can, more enterprise ready, more acceptable by enterprise users, and more manageable by enterprise IT staff.
Interesting. How viable are cloud-based Hadoop solutions like Amazon's Elastic MapReduce for enterprise big data analytics?
Well, I think they're very viable. But I want to say at the outset that, you know, if you're an enterprise IT staff person and then you're looking at ways to implement Hadoop, and the cloud it turns out to be one of them, one of the things that you want to obviously figure out is if you stand up a Hadoop instance in on Elastic MapReduce, for example, you need to know how you're going to get the data out. Once you spin these things up. Now, I'm not saying that you can't. There are ways to do that, but that's, I think, one of the first things you need to understand is that if, you spin this thing up and it works and it starts taking off, then you might want to understand how you're going to get it out of the cloud once you get it in. But I think it's a very viable way to start really from nothing, if you will, except maybe some data that you want to run some analytics against. You don't have to, download the code, build the cluster, install the code, hire people to run it, et cetera, et cetera. You just spin up the instance. Now, there is a growing ecosystem, if you will, of partners to organizations like Amazon, Elastic MapReduce, that will help people, with data sources, getting the data there, getting the analytics personnel, maybe building some applications on top that will present the results of the analytics applications to users, et cetera. It's a very viable option, but then it becomes a question of whether or not you want to keep the analytics application running in the cloud, or at some point do you want to bring it back in-house, and it's important to know how you're going to do that. If in fact that's the way you go. But it is a very viable, and lots of people are doing it, and they've been doing it actually for years. There have been analytics in the cloud for longer than there's been Hadoop. So it's a very viable option.
Okay, so it seems like the cloud is a good starting point. What about using Hadoop with shared storage?
So there are a number of different ways to look at this. I think that there hasn't been much interest in doing this until maybe very recently among the social media players, the Facebooks and the Googles, the original creators and users of Hadoop. But there's a lot of interest now among enterprise users in trying to figure out ways that they can apply the storage services that they're familiar with to Hadoop. They're also looking at Hadoop in terms of efficiency. And so what they've discovered, perhaps much to their surprise, is that, as these clusters grow, they can be actually very inefficient users of computing resources in particular. I mean, typically, you grow a cluster to take on more and more storage or more and more data. And in order to do that, you add nodes. Well, the nodes come along with compute capacity as well, processing capacity. And so the bigger these clusters get, it's not uncommon to see utilization of processing resources as less than 10%. So you've got an awful lot of processing resource that's going unused simply because you've grown the cluster to take on more and more storage. So, again, one of the reasons you might want to use shared storage is to disaggregate storage capacity from processing capacity. So you can grow storage capacity without necessarily adding processing capacity, which you may not need.
Okay, so it seems like combining shared storage with Hadoop, at a minimum, makes things much more complex and expensive. With this added expense of Hadoop distributions, how do you see partnerships like Hortonworks and Microsoft and MapR and EMC shaking out and affecting the storage giants?
Yeah, I mean, let me just respond to your previous comment there. There's some trade-offs to consider. Yeah, you might be spending extra money on the hardware side or the infrastructure side, but you could be saving money in terms of management cost. Because as these clusters grow, they typically run in some sort of failure mode, and to keep them running, you have to employ people, and so you can spend money on infrastructure to reduce the actual number of staff that you have to keep these things up and running and manage them. There are some trade-offs here that are worth considering. The other one is just, uptime of the cluster. And so what is if you've got a cluster that's now in production that users are, pounding on and depending on regularly, and, the cluster is unavailable for some period of time, that's going to cost you in terms of productivity or, lost revenue or, depending on the application for the cluster. And so enterprises have typically looked at, trade-offs like that and been more willing to spend money on infrastructure to gain a return on investment. The return on investment typically is in productivity, user productivity, or just simplified management. So I think partnerships are critical, I think, here. I mean, you have a group of sort of base distributions, vendors that are pushing forward versions of the open source distribution of Apache Hadoop. Those are Cloudera, Hortonworks, and MapR, which has its some would argue its own proprietary distribution. But I'm seeing all of the major vendors forming some sort of relationship with any and all of those three. So you have, as you mentioned, Hortonworks and Microsoft. So specifically, what's going on there is Hortonworks is figuring out with Microsoft ways to integrate Microsoft applications with Apache Hadoop. They're also working on running a Hadoop under Hyper-V in virtual machines. Those are a couple of very interesting activities going on there. EMC and MapR. MapR offers what they advertise as an enterprise version of Hadoop, and obviously EMC has a customer base that's very heavily dominated by large enterprise users, and so they're going to be obviously interested in an enterprise version of Hadoop that is supported by a vendor that they know and understand and can work with. And so that's the nature of, that relationship. It's also around an appliance, and appliance versions of Hadoop are also an interesting way to approach this, the appliance being the entire framework. Servers, network, storage, integrated with Hadoop, all put together, installed, supported by a single vendor. And so those have become popular as well. So that's the nature of the MapR EMC relationship. I mentioned NetApp and Cloudera. IBM has relationships with both Cloudera and Hortonworks. So I think the general trend is that the vendors who have the enterprise user constituencies and are seeing Hadoop enter the enterprise are now building the relationships with providers of Hadoop, the supporters of Hadoop, the developers of Hadoop that have been around for a while, understand the platform, work with the developer community, the committers, and contributors, and they gain an understanding of the platform, how it's progressing forward, and the companies like Cloudera and Hortonworks and MapR get a better understanding of what the enterprise requirements are for Hadoop. I think they're very valuable relationships, and they will help Hadoop move forward into the enterprise.
Okay, sure. That makes a lot of sense. Very interesting stuff. I think our listeners will find this very helpful. And thanks for your time today, John.
Well, thank you, Ian. Appreciate it. I had a good time.
If you'd like to learn more about Hadoop storage and other data storage topics, please visit www.searchstorage.com. I'm Ian Crowley, and thanks for listening.